But I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Mary and I had a blessing of teaching on the book of Jude the other day. It was kind of fun to do together, and it was a real, it was fun. It was fun for the two of us, and I pray everybody else got blessed. And, but in the book of Jude, it talks about Cain, and it talks about ungodly men, and one of the examples was Cain. So I was reading, and I came across this in Hebrews 11, which you've also read 1,000 times before. But I wanted to follow through on this, and it says, verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." He yet speaketh. Abel offered this more excellent sacrifice, and it says he did it by faith. That means that in order to do anything by faith, God has to give you the information first, then you carry it out. And that is the difference between Cain and Abel. Both of them, I believe, received the same exact information because God wanted a sacrifice. The sacrifice God wanted was the one that Abel brought and did. The sacrifice that Cain gave was actually probably more work to raise the fruit of the ground, but it was not what God wanted. In fact, Cain offered this. You can go to Genesis chapter 4. Cain offered to God from the earth that God had cursed just a chapter before. Now it says God cursed the ground. And so in chapter 4 it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." He's the eldest. "And said, I've gotten a man from the Lord." Not necessarily true, because she was thinking she's got the Messiah, that it's coming from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. But he turns out to be the first murderer, and not the best to think that this is of the Lord. But at any rate, "I've gotten the man from the Lord," and she again bare his brother Abel. "And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord hath respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he hath not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now let me just stop there for a minute. If Abel did this by faith, and this sacrifice is what God wanted and required, because I want you to realize this in the rest of the records in the scripture, talks about it in Matthew, talks about it in other places that I'll take you here in a minute. But it talks about it in Hebrews chapter 12, where it specifically says that this blood offering is part of what God wanted, because it is really the first record after the fall of man of individuals coming and worshiping God. Now, there's no question that Cain wanted to worship God. No question in my mind, because it says he brought to sacrifice unto the Lord. But Cain didn't do this according to what God wanted. It says in the scriptures that, you know, a blood sacrifice is what God has and will from this point on want from his people to cover their sins. Cain simply brought that from the ground. It doesn't even mention that it was the best, but it was from a ground in which God had cursed. It was something that God didn't give him by faith. And I believe that Cain had to receive the same information that Abel did. And because you don't worship God the way you want to. You worship God the way he wants. You do what you're told. You know, God tells us in his word, he wants us to pray. He wants us to keep him first. He wants us to love him. He wants us to put his word on in our mind, and on and on and on we can go. He tells us exactly what he wants. He says, if you want to love me, you keep my commandments. That's not how exactly we want to love God. We want all this emotional stuff to go with it. You know, we if you watch people in churches all over the place, they worship God in very many different ways. And they all believe that they're right and correct. You know, some people put more rules on it than others, but the truth of the matter is, if you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love God is to do his word and to keep his commandments. That is how you show your love for him, your obedience to him. So that puts Cain in the place of offering which was not accepted. And the reason it wasn't accepted is because this was Cain's thinking on what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. He came to worship God, but not the way God wanted. And that's really the essence of all religions. All religions basically do it their way. And it's of works, it's of their thinking, and not according to the will of the Lord. So really right at the beginning of Genesis, you got a couple of big lessons here. You do it God's way. You carry out what God says. And the reason, like I said before, the only way you can do anything by faith, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come any other way. Then you have the example that since Abel did it God's way, his offering was acceptable. Cain did not do it God's way. His was rejected. One was according to God's word. The other one was according to what he thought or wanted to do. One was a blood sacrifice, which God is going to teach and use as a type all the way through the Bible for what our Lord and Savior is going to have to do for us. The other was one of man's works, of the work of his own hands. And that by sheer definition is the difference between believing and Christianity and true faith in God and religion. So Cain got angry. He got angry in verse 5. And unto Cain and to his offering he hath not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, and by the way, there's a lot more written about Cain than there is about Abel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real testimony to believers. A lot less is written about the believers than about all the things God warns us about. Maybe the less that's written about you, the better off you are. But it says, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? You know, God cares. Did you ever see somebody? I mean, I walked into the room the other day and Mary says, "What's the matter with you?" Like I was angry or something, but I was probably just uncomfortable, but I didn't know what I looked like. I wasn't looking in the mirror. I wasn't trying to be on camera or anything. She just thought something was terribly wrong with the look that was on my face. I think God beholds us. He knows everything about us. He knows what's in our head, our heart. He knows what's in the background of your mind. He knows everything about you, and he cares. Cares very much. The Lord said to him, "If thou do well, thou shalt thou not be accepted." If you do what I tell you, if you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? Abel did well. Cain didn't. "And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door." Now, sin lies at all of our doors all the time. And any time that we're not doing God's word and we're not doing his will, sin is lying at the door. "And unto thee that unto thee shall be his desire," sin's desire, "and thou shalt rule over him." You have to choose to rule over your flesh, or your flesh will rule over you, and your flesh wants to manifest sin, period. And then it goes, next scene here, verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" This thing, Bullinger once said that of this section, that your brother's blood, the next verse cries to me, it's not only your brother, but all of the righteous ones that would have come out of your brother cries unto me. I don't know if that's true or not, but Bullinger makes that note. And the Lord said, in verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Liar. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood." And like I said, Bullinger makes this note that one of the translations says, "bloods," as in all of the righteous men and women that would have come out of Abel had he lived. That's quite a burden there. "It cries unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto me her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Oh, gee whiz. "But thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Whereof, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him and should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelleth in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." Pretty amazing. God wanted him to live having a long life was also a punishment. for this man. He didn't want anybody to shorten it so that he would receive the recompense, the punishment that he deserved. Must have been something. You know, all of this, God Almighty intervenes, counsels with Cain. Cain rejects God directly, and the direct influence that God wanted to direct his life and heart, he directly rejects that and kills his brother. Now he faces the consequence of his actions, and he is so cursed. He's going to break his back the rest of his life, and God's not even going to permit anybody to kill him so that he can suffer it. You wanted to work with your hands? You wanted? Now go ahead, work and work and work and work. You know, it's the only connection as far as his punishment goes and what he did. He offered to God of the fruit of his own hands. It wasn't the best. Doesn't say it was the best. He did it the way he wanted to do it. When his brother was declared righteous because God accepted the offering, the fire came down from heaven and received the offering. That's how they both knew one was accepted and the other one wasn't. That's how it was with the days of the patriarchs. And because he wanted to do it with the works of his hands, now he's going to work and he's going to work and he's going to work because he didn't want to do it God's way. That's just, you know, a glimpse of what I saw as I looked at this thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Talks about Abel here. It says in verse 25, it says, "Woe unto you scribes." Let's see if I'm in the right place. Yeah. "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Verse 25. I wrote it down, but...
Oh, it's 35.
Excuse me, 35. Well, anyhow, that was a good verse to read. Because you see that he's talking to the religious guys, right? They're always doing things of the flesh. They're always making their own rules. They're always doing it their way. And they miss the whole point. In verse 35, it says, And upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." The religion is hateful. People who do it by works, make themselves righteous by their own works, they cannot stand those that God deems righteous. The martyrdom of Abel to this man Zacharias, who I'm not sure who he was, plus all the prophets and all the righteous in between that, was all done by very religious people. You know, all the guys that slew the prophets, they weren't unbelievers. They were, you know, the people of God, so to speak, who were not believing or doing the word of God. Religion is hateful. And just the same way Cain killed his brother. He was envious. In Hebrews, go back to chapter 11 here for a minute. Just going to read that verse again, and then we're going to go to another place in Hebrews. See, the believers do things by faith. Believers believe, but they don't just believe what they want to believe. They have to believe what God says. They have to do what God wants. Otherwise, they're not believers. And if they start to do it their own way, then they're going after the way of Cain. So in 11:4 again, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." We read that in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking it. We're reading it here. A man who's doing it righteously is doing it God's way. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaks. How does he yet speak? That sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, the substitution of that animal, just like the substitutionary offerings, it's all the way through the books of Moses. In the Torah, is given as a type, an example of what our Lord and Savior was going to have to do for men. That event in Genesis chapter 4 is the event of the first people who worship God openly and in front of us all from the time of Genesis 3:15 after the fall of man. So this is the first real lesson in the Bible. The first real lesson when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to walking by faith. The first real lesson when it comes to what does faith look like and what does works look like. In chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, this is the verse, I guess, that confirms this, what I just said to you. It says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaketh of better things than that of Abel." Abel's offering was an animal sacrifice. It was according to God's will, and it was the type of what would come. But Jesus Christ speaks better things. What he did is what was looked forward to, what was necessary for the redemption of all mankind. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. I don't want to believe Jesus is my Lord, and yet I got to do this in order to be righteous. I don't want to say that I have to do my works in order to have salvation and thank Jesus as Lord. Again, it's all not according to his word. A right dividing of God's word says that the Messiah would come and redeem us. Abel did just what God wanted, and Abel believed what God said. That's why he's the first record, the first person talked about in the Hall of Fame of believers. In 1 John, chapter 3, verse 12. Well, anyhow, go back to 11. It says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. See, Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? And wherefore, why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Just another verse to confirm that this is not what made it evil. He came, it says, he sacrificed to the Lord. But what made it evil? Doing what he wanted to do. Doing it the way he decided to do it. That makes it, it's not God. And he was of that wicked one. So who's working on Cain? Right there. I mean, we're next door to the Garden of Eden. We just simply exited the Garden of Eden here. We're in chapter 4, and the devil is already working big time in this man's life. And God intervenes, talks to him, gives him the information he needs. He rejects it and goes with his feelings. And it's all because that envy that he had, that emotion that he had, he was rejected because it wasn't what God wanted. It was probably good stuff. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to worship something, you probably bring halfway decent stuff. But it was rejected because it was not what God wanted. It wasn't a type of the sacrifice. So go to Jude. This is where it got inspired of this teaching, Jude 11. Only one chapter in it. And again, Jude is warning God's people of the dangers of those who have crept into the church. Now, when I taught this, Mary and I taught this the other day, I wanted to make a big point. This is talking about Jude is writing to warn God's people that there are people who creep in. You know, they come in stealthy. And their whole thing in the record of Jude is, in verse 4, it says, they creep in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. That's King Jimmy. But these people who have been talked about throughout the Bible, they have been talked about that they would come in. This is not new. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness. You know, unbridled passions, doing whatever they want. Right? We're talking about sexually, morally, mentally. They turn the grace of God into a license to sin in whatever category you want. Denying the Lord God. You know, Jehovah thy Elohim, the Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. These individuals who creep in, they start to murmur, they start to complain, they start to lead people away. And this was spoken of. It's spoken of in 2 Peter. It's spoken of in 1 Timothy. It's spoken of in a number of places in the latter part of the Christian church, the latter part of the first century. And they're false prophets. But anyhow, I go back here to verse 11 because it relates to this teaching, which this has inspired it. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They didn't go in the way of Cain in murdering people. They went into the way of Cain, and I believe the sin of Cain is doing it his own way, trying to worship God. I mean, the root of it is religion. Mm-hmm. Doing it the way you want to do it. The result of that doing it by religion is envy. The result of that envy is murder. That's what they envied Jesus. They murdered him. And they did it to the prophets and everybody else. That's what religion does. That's why during the Inquisition they came up with more little gadgets to torture people than any other time. That's what religion does. You know, they couldn't think of enough things to torture people. That's the way of Cain. And they run greedy after the error of Balaam. It's about money. These unbelievers. These are people in the church. It's about money. And what's that?
They perished
in the gainsaying of Korah. Kor here in King James is Korah. So these three categories for unbelievers. The one I covered really big, the best thing I covered here was Cain. Cain's great sin that started this whole thing off with is religion his way. Doing what he wanted rather than what God wanted. But the other things are just as huge and just as true and just as much turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And the examples, you got doing it the way you want to do it instead of God's way, doing it for greed and filthy lucre instead of doing that out of love, and the rejection of what God wants done and who he wants to do it. In the case of Korah and Moses, it was God. Korah stood against Moses and said, hey, we're just as holy as you are. We're all Israel. I mean, you know, so Moses says, come on, bring your censer over here. Let's go up to the tabernacle. Let's let the Lord pick and choose. So the 250 of them with their little censer things, they all showed up. And then the earth opened up and swallowed them and closed back up again. God decided, that's a heck of a way to go. That is one heck of a way to go. And then that kind of divisiveness, which is what's talked about in the book of Jude, comes up a number of times right after that. The people were all upset because Aaron got chose to be the high priest. And so God says, have them all throw their rods, put their names on it, and put their rods. And Aaron's was the one that butted. Again, God made it abundantly clear what he wanted done, how he wanted to do it, and who he wanted to do what. It's never up to the... It's not up for debate. It's not a democracy. This is God. He tells us, you and me, what he wants and how he wants it in this word. You know, somebody once asked me, well, we do the same thing all the time. I'm getting tired of it. Well, I said, well, this is what I know from the Bible. You know, Jesus Christ's fellowship looked like this. There was a bunch of guys together. They sang hymns, they prayed together, and he taught them the Bible. He taught them the Word. If that's what his fellowship looked like, and that's basically what I believe the first century fellowships looked like, because they all broke bread with one another, and they stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and they went from house to house praising God and sharing grace. What else do you want to do? You know, we're not in this for entertainment. We are doing what we have been taught to do, the way in which I believe the scripture teaches to do it. That is a huge difference than making it up as you go along, having people entertained, collecting money so that you can buy multiple 747 jets and fly all over and look real good, or having a mega church with 10,000 people sitting around and listening to one guy rather than the believers being discipled to do that very thing themselves, to go out, to learn, to preach, to teach, to witness, to take responsibility in the arena that God has put us in, to be ambassadors, each and every one, for Christ. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.
That was awesome.